Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Casa Connection. I am Jeff Warren, here from Casa Shaw. Make sure you're following us on Twitter, on Instagram, at Casa_Shaw. And certainly head on over to our website as well, where we have great resources, CasaShaw.org. Okay, now that I have that out of the way, this episode is going to be a fantastic one because we have one of our Casa volunteers with us. And it dovetails into what we specifically were discussing on our last Casa Connection episode with regard to education, heading back to school. But this episode is particularly going to be focused on educational advocacy. And joining us, like I said, one of our great Casa volunteers here at Casa Shaw, we have Donna Cardmore. How you doing, Donna?
Doing well, thank you.
It's great to have you here in our office to record this podcast. And I have to say that you recently did a Casa Cafe with us here at Casa Shaw, and it was so eye-opening to so many of our Casa volunteers in terms of educational advocacy that we wanted to do a Casa Connection podcast about it because we feel the information that you were able to give to our volunteers was really, really valuable, Donna.
That's great. You know, as a former special ed teacher and a school social worker counselor, it's very important to me that children receive and are part of all the resources that are available to them.
Absolutely.
And sometimes it's just a matter of asking or looking into,
yep,
or making a connection with the right person in school to be able to access those resources.
Absolutely. We have a lot of people that have been listening to this podcast, not just in the Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren County areas, but frankly throughout the country, which is fantastic. And they may be thinking, okay, who's Donna? What gives her the credentials in order to actually be able to talk about educational advocacy within the world of foster care? Donna, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you're recently retired from the education field, from my understanding. So let's kind of get into your background a little so you can let people know where you've come from and why you're an expert in this field.
Sure. Special education teacher, taught everywhere from preschool through eighth grade. Did that for many years. I had my master's in school social work. So after my special ed teacher career, I then went into the school social work counselor for many years as well. And my retirement was actually based on the fact that my grandchild was born, one of my grandchildren,
there you go.
And I became a full-time nana.
All right.
For that, the best experience. But I continue to advocate, obviously, for education.
You have, and you've been in such a valuable CASA volunteer here at Casa Shaw. And again, one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on the Casa Connection podcast is to really talk about educational advocacy in the world of foster care. As Tracy and I last week on the podcast discussed, our last episode, we talked about going back to school and what it means for a lot of foster youth and the challenges that they face. And within that episode, folks who are listening, if you go back, Tracy gave some really, really good support ideas for foster youth as they're transitioning into the school year. But going a little bit deeper here, Donna, what do you think some of the challenges are that foster youth really face throughout school? Not just going back to school, but throughout the entire educational system itself, throughout the entire school year. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. So let's start with, in the case of foster children, some will remain in their school district that they were in.
Yeah.
Others will be removed. So there's a change right there. Now, not only starting a new school year, a new school district, and not knowing anyone, not making any connections in the very beginning.
Connections is important.
Connections
it's critical.
Is imperative.
Yes.
Let's face it, kids are in school for 7+ hours a day, many more hours than they're awake at their own home that they're living in.
Yeah.
So for them, school could be and should be a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for that to happen, they have to have a very clear relationship with people in school, be it their classroom teacher who would know them the best, be it their school counselor. And those are the people that as a CASA advocate, it's important to reach out to. Not the first day of school.
Yeah.
You need to give the teacher and the counselor a little bit of time to get to know the student, but they shouldn't should have the background on Absolutely. The student. They need some information.
Yes.
And as a former teacher and counselor, that's not always given to them. So here is this new child in their classroom, and there's no history, no background on why they're there. And here's the child coming with all the baggage, especially if they're in a new school district.
And school, whether it's elementary, middle, high school, an intermediate-based type of school, some of that is just the foundation for children in foster care.
Without a doubt.
And that's why guidance counselors are so important. Their teachers are so important. And again, talking about those challenges that foster youth face as they are going through their school year, Donna, my wife's an elementary school counselor. She has seen time and time again foster youth coming through her office and talking about the challenges that they face. And again, that foundation of school is so incredibly important to each foster youth Absolutely. Because of the challenges that they face.
Without a doubt. Yeah. Without a doubt. You know, let's face it, first day of school, everyone's out now buying school supplies.
Exactly.
The backpack. How about just clothes to wear?
Yeah.
And many times our foster children, depending on the situation they're in, don't have what they need.
Right,
and
right.
Unfortunately, you know, the first day of school, okay, raise your hand if you have all your supplies.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
Exactly.
How does that feel when you don't have all your supplies? So it's important. I know through CASA we're able to provide some backpacks and school supplies and things like that. And it's so important.
We have been able to do that over many years. And I know a lot of other CASA programs throughout the United States, here in New Jersey as well, do that too. But kind of going a little bit deeper here in terms of our conversation, Donna, you know, you recently, again, talked at our CASA Cafe about IEPs, about 504 plans, how they're critical to foster youth within the school system. Can you kind of explain to us why they are so important? Why are they so critical, especially as children are moving, as you mentioned earlier, from school to school at times when they're going through the system?
Right.
Why is it so critical?
Background information is so important.
Yeah.
You know, just going through COVID, I know we have school districts that have not done all of their testing, standardized testing that has been done in the past.
They're catching up.
They're catching up.
Yeah.
But the standardized testing was the one document that we were able to look at for children to see if they were lagging behind, as well as the daily classroom habits and, you know, progression, which is important for children. Coming from another district, to be sure that the new district got all of the report cards, any testing that was done, any reports that were done. Many times, unfortunately, the documentation does not follow through.
Right.
You spoke about the 504, the IEP. Before even that happens, there has to be what's called an intervention and referral service,
yep.
where basically they use whatever documentation is at hand, not only standardized testing, but also classroom experiences. The teacher is imperative in that situation, which again, now we have a student in possibly in a new school with none of that background. But it's important. That's something, and an INRS, Intervention and Referral Services, is a legal document as well. It would be a meeting of all the school personnel that would be involved in this and basically make a plan of action to see how they can support the child.
I think, yeah, and I think
which
it's all
imperative.
It's imperative. And it's also, I think, important for folks to know, too, that just because a child is in foster care doesn't always necessarily mean they're going to have an individualized education plan,
Absolutely
an IEP,
not.
Or a 504
no.
plan. But we do see it a lot within the world of foster yep. care because of the trauma that certain children
Absolutely.
Have been through and how that transcends into the educational system,
Without
correct?
Without a doubt. Yeah. And again, you mentioned the trauma. That's always in the background for
yeah.
the child. And how do they deal with that? Let's make sure they're getting the right resources to deal with that. Because that baggage, especially whether they're younger or older, they bring that to school with them every single day.
Absolutely. Do you recall maybe at all, perhaps, you know, a story that you could say, of course, in a general sense, where you knew that there was a foster youth within the school where you were specifically at, but you knew that they needed just a little bit more in order for them to really be successful throughout the school year? Is there
absolutely.
Can you tell a short story here?
I have one that comes to mind right away, a
okay.
sixth grader. And he was placed with a foster woman who was not married. She was single.
Okay.
She was young. And she was a little overwhelmed. So basically, working with this child, he came to school each day. You know, I met with him as a counselor, but the important thing for him was to, again, make those important connections, to get involved in after-school activities.
Yeah.
You know, he so wanted to be part of the baseball team. He had never been part of a baseball team. That was an easy fix.
Right, right.
You know, it involved, I know sometimes there's a problem with after-school transportation, but many schools do have it. It's just a matter of asking.
It's a matter of asking.
And that's what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they need the enrichment. They need the additional connection after school.
Yeah.
To have a successful school year.
Just ask, folks.
Just ask.
Yeah.
And, you know, now with the internet and everything else, as a foster parent, you can go right online. And many times for the school district, which is so important to be part of the online parent portal, number one. Number two, to see what is available.
Yeah.
Many times it's just listed there. And again, you just have to ask.
I mean, my kids going into middle school, you know, we're in the back to school session here, or not session, but back to school time frame. And we didn't necessarily even know, as my kids aren't going through foster care.
Right.
We didn't necessarily know every single thing that was being offered in the middle school up until a couple weeks ago before school started. So going to those portals, going to the school district website, the school website itself, I think it'd be very beneficial. So it kind of just starts with looking into it.
Without a doubt. Yeah. You know, I had a case where I had two older children, middle school and high school. And as a CASA volunteer, one time I went to their house, had them bring up their school website. And I had them look with me on the website. Look at all these clubs. Look at all these after-school activities you can be a part of. Give it a try.
Right.
Give it a try. You don't know until you try.
Exactly.
And that's so important.
Exactly. Again, we're talking to one of our awesome CASA volunteers, Donna Cardmore. And Donna knows so much about the educational field, was an educator for so many years. And I guess to kind of close us out here, Donna, running just a little bit low on time, but want to get into a conversation with you specifically about how we can support educational advocacy within the school system for foster youth. There are certainly strategies, there are certainly avenues and pathways that educators, CASA volunteers, staff at different CASA offices, wherever, there's so many different resources that are out there. How can we really support educational advocacy for foster youth as they're moving forward?
Again, there are resources out there. We just have to access them.
Mm-hmm.
As a CASA advocate, early intervention is so important.
Yeah.
And as well as from the three-year-olds for the Project Find, there are preschool programs now. If a child is found to have or need some extra help, they can attend preschool where, you know, others don't.
Right.
And that's so important. Going through the school year, again, the resources to make sure the help is there for the students and the support. And basically, I'm going to use the word again, support.
Support.
Yeah. As a CASA volunteer, supporting the student. Get on the parent portal, if there is a parent portal. Something as silly, you know, and again, I reflect back to my years as a counselor and teacher. Okay, first day of school, how many kids have access to the internet? Well, all the hands went up. Well, the important question was, how many students have access to a computer, not the phone?
Right.
Many children will have access to the internet on mom's phone, but
right,
there's three other kids. Can't do homework on the phone. It's
exactly.
Next to impossible.
Yeah.
But those are the little things that we have to think of.
Yeah.
And if they don't have access, again, through CASA or other resources, we may be able to help with that.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
They have to come home from school and do homework. Is the foster parent checking the backpack each day?
Right.
What is the homework?
And sometimes that doesn't happen.
It often doesn't happen.
Right.
I'm going to reflect again. I had two older children, middle school and high school, and I was on the parent portal. And every day I checked it. And every day they got an email, did not like it. I was like, right. How do you know that I didn't do my homework?
Right.
I'm on the parent portal.
Right.
But you know what? After a while, they knew I was going to do it.
Right.
So, you know, it helped.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I would be in close contact with the teachers. What can they make up the work? Yes, it would have been better if they did it in
exactly.
the first place. Can they make, what can they get credit for? If they're going to make it up, are you going to give them credit
exactly.
for it?
Exactly.
And if not, then we're not going to make it up.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But again, a very close relationship with the classroom teacher and the guidance counselor in the school from pre-K through high school.
Everything you're talking about, everything within our conversation here, Donna, it goes to show how important foster children having a CASA volunteer inevitably is.
Absolutely.
Because that CASA volunteer will be able to communicate with the guidance counselor, with the teacher, even the principal every now and then, you know, any type of crisis management team or anything, you know, within the realm of that child's education. And that's why CASA volunteers are so important. How long have you been doing this?
This is, I'll be starting my fourth year.
Fourth year.
Yeah, third case.
Year. And I guess to close us out here, what's your favorite part about being a CASA volunteer?
Just having the interaction with the children.
Yeah.
And with
making
the foster
a difference.
Families.
Making a difference. And you absolutely
yep.
do, Donna.
Thank you.
I have to tell you, it was great having you on the CASA Connection podcast here. It was great. Such
Thank
great
you. My
information.
Pleasure to be here. And again, I can be a resource to other CASA advocates. Just ask.
Fantastic. Again, folks, the CASA Connection here. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Please head on over to our website, CASASHAW.org. Follow us on Instagram at CASA_Shaw. Same handle over at Twitter. You can like our Facebook page as well. We will see you on the next CASA Connection, and you will hear us on the next CASA Connection.
Thank you.